Thank you, folks. Love you, Brother Randy.
Love you too.
He didn't mean that. Journey of warning for Christian America on the brink of destruction. God says, I'll give you warning. In the process of me giving you warning, I will always offer you hope. I will always let you know you have a way out of whatever situation you have gotten yourself into, no matter how bad it is. So in my message today, which it'll start at, I got 4 pages here, folks, from writing and all of this stuff. And it will start on the 4th page. But the other I wrote, I want to read to you. It's important leading into this. This is a message that I know that God has given me to give to all who will listen. And I'm talking to Christian America. Christian America has lived too much the carnal life for too long. And we're witnessing, watching our own nation being brought down a little bit at a time. And God says, warn them. Give them the warning. Thus saith the Lord thy God. Therefore, as Brother Randy said, I better stay in prayer. I better be talking to God because it's God's message. This is God's world. I am God's child. You are God's children. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. But the call is to Christian America. The lost may not hear it, but they will feel it. Christian America is responsible to stand up, to be counted, and to live the life we say that we're called to live. Proclaim the truth. Stand for God's way. And quit sitting down and saying nothing and doing nothing. We have a nation that's going down. Every day, we have corruption at the highest levels of leadership within our nation. We know it, and yet we stay silent. Yes, you pray for your leaders, but you also hold them accountable for not leading, for not standing, for not doing what they know is right for filthy gain of money. Is it anything new? No. Nothing new about it. But let me tell you something. It's not new, neither is the punishment for doing it. When we stand back and refuse to stand up for God's truth and to say this is wrong, then we are just as guilty of those who are actually committing the crimes. Therefore, I'll tell you what the sin is in the message. I'll tell you what the punishment is, God's word, in the message. Then I'll tell you what the remedy is. Yes, there's a remedy for all this foolishness, for all the hell that is broken loose in our country. That remedy is getting back to the foot of the cross. Our journey as Christians back and forth to that cross. Dealing with problems in our life. Dealing and focusing on the blessings that are in our life. And God said, I want you to be ready. I want you to stand. And when I tell you to preach it, I don't have time, Larry, to let cancer get in your way. I'll take care of that. You take care of preaching my message. You just stand and you proclaim, thus saith the Lord our God. Psalm 31, verse 12. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. There have been many human recorded warnings throughout history which spoke to the threats of the imminent destruction of individuals, cultures, and nations, none of which ever came to pass. But there is a record book which records history and prophecy with absolute accuracy. This record book contains God's godly warning of the imminent pending destruction of individuals, cultures, and nations. These records are recorded in the best-selling book written by the command of God and known throughout the world as the Holy Bible. It is in the context of God's Holy Bible that we find his urgent warnings for Christian America. But far too often, we heed God's warnings the same way we do human warnings, as empty words without foundation. Yet, we should understand an important fact concerning God's pronouncements. When God speaks of imminent destruction, it shall come to pass. Isaiah 14, 24, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass, and as I have purposed, so it shall stand. Jesus' disciples had the same problem that many Christians in America seem to have today. They neglected their ability to listen and understand Jesus' words, and they forgot a great fact. Now listen to this. When Jesus says what Jesus says will be, will be. What Jesus says will be, will be. Listen to an interesting incident affecting Jesus and his disciples. Luke 8, 22 through 24. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. When Jesus says, go to the other side, count on getting there. When Jesus says, go to the other side, count on getting there. I've learned a great lesson all of these years. When Jesus calls you, touches you, calls you to preach, quit looking at those who try to stop you and look at the one who called you. Doesn't matter what your calling is, everyone who knows Christ has a calling. All of those who don't know Christ has a calling waiting for them. And all they need do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't worry, the Holy Spirit will do the convicting. You just be there ready to help out when God directs you to do so. When Jesus says to the prevailing wind, that's enough, that's enough. The prevailing wind that's coming out of Washington, D.C. today is a wind that is vile, is a wind that is anti-godly, is a voice, too many of them united together to kick God even out of the world. I got news for you. You can tell God he's not allowed in school. You can tell God he's not allowed in public places to preach and proclaim anymore. You can tell God you don't want him in your family. But the news that I have for you, my friend, is this. God is God. And God loves me. He loves you. And wherever you are, that's where God's going to be. And he could care less about the prevailing wind of hypocrisy coming from Washington, D.C., state government, or anyone else. He is going to be where you are. He is going to be ready to deliver you. But listen, the warning is for Christian America. We are perishing because we're refusing to stand for God, His Word, His love, His Son. We need to stand up and be crowned. We've sat down long enough, but you don't know what they're going to do to me. Let me tell you something. Since the day I was called to preach, I've had people trying to get me out of the ministry. And this is what I've said from those earlier years. God called me to preach. I know that. I feel that. If you can put me out of the ministry, then it's obvious God didn't really call me. So you take your best shot. They've been taking no shots. Why? Because you provoke the heart and the spirit of individual Christians when you proclaim the truth of Christ. Well, it's time that our spirits are provoked. It is time for us to stand up. Watching those young Marines and all of those that were slaughtered, Afghanistan's and all, there was no need for that to take place. And it goes back on the higher echelon of leadership or the lack of it. I love them. I care. I don't care if they're Afghanistan's. I don't care what nation they're of. I love them. God created them just like He created you and me, and we have an honor of God to uphold. I cannot imagine not going back in to pull out the innocent and protect them as an American Marine. They can't imagine it either. But the prevailing wind that is going on in Washington, D.C., and in too many classrooms, and in far too many pulpits in the churches today, is let's not rock the boat. Well, let me tell you something. It's time somebody sinks that boat. It's time that you start standing up and you start reaching in, leaving them on the field of battle. Americans being left behind? No. Not only is that not proper, it's ungodly. And no warrior of any branch of service would ever leave an American behind, innocent behind. If it takes 50 lives to go get you, then that's what it takes. But with honor, we should be ready to go in, and we should be ready to lift up those parents that are out there of their young men and women, those Marines and those soldiers, those airmen, those sailors, all those who are on the field of battle. They're wondering and they're worrying about what's going to happen. Nothing will ever happen. Never again. Great in this nation until Christian America wakes up and listens to the Word of God. It is His Word. It is His warning. Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is reproach to any people. Sin. When a nation refuses to recognize God's authority or to serve the Lord with gladness, then that nation will fall. God's warnings to His first nation also apply to all other nations, America included. Here's the sin. Listen to it. Isaiah 1, verse 4. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. God's talking to His people, Brother Randy. Those who are called by His name. That's us. And God is speaking to the heart, and He's speaking warning. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. What is that? That's wickedness. That's immorality. That's vileness. Have you noticed what's going on in America today? Have you noticed that it's even got to the point that I have family members afraid to go to Louisville? Because there's so many killings going on up there. Oh, no, that won't be happening in our own community. It is happening in our own community, folks. Vileness and evil doesn't care about the community. It cares about destroying those in that community that make up that community. It is America, Christian America, on the brink of destruction. When the church is destroyed and the voice of God is no longer proclaimed from this holy pulpit, you will see a nation collapse. The only reason that America has stood this long is because of the church. I know from the Word of God, Brother Randy, when the church is pulled out, when the Lord comes and withdraws the church, the world collapses. You cannot stand without Christ. You cannot stand without the love of God. You cannot stand without the mercy of God. But thusly, in the same light, neither can the enemies of God stand when you've got Christ in your heart. You're warriors of God, each one of us. We cannot leave a man behind. We must go to the fields of service that God has called us to, in our own community, in our own church. And if one is dragging out there or hurting, then you and I need to get them off of that battlefield. God's watching. He's paying attention. He called us to service, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers. Oh, man. Children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. You know what that means? They turned their back on God. They turned their back on truth. Well, you may turn your back on God. You may turn your back on truth. But truth will win out, and God is always the winner. He's always God. The world cannot win. But it's how many of our loved ones are we standing back watching, being dragged on a battlefield and left lying there, left dying there, left there without any hope because Christian America has backed off because we need to be a little woke. Well, let me tell you about being a little woke. Wake up and stand up for the truth of God. And you say, now, if, Brother Larry, they will defrock you. Let me tell you who gave me my credentials. It's the Holy Spirit of Almighty God called me to preach. All the rest of it, I just went to learn all that I could. But it's God's order, God's will, God's power. That's what gives you strength in life. Folks, don't worry about tomorrow. Did we not hear? Today has enough problems of its own. But God is the God of today, tomorrow, yesterday, and all the days to come. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger. Don't provoke God to anger. Come on. You're better off to anger the one you married than you are to ever provoke God to anger. God loves us. And he said, I'll give you the power. I will give wings to your armies. I will give mercy to you and to your enemy. But folks, we need to start paying attention. Is Christian America becoming as much of an enemy against God as the secular world is? Will we not stand up anymore? Do we not admit that we're Christian out in public? Well, Brother Larry, that's not popular today. Jesus wasn't popular in his day either, only with a certain group. That's people like you and me. But God says, I want you to listen. I'm giving you the warning. Now here's your punishment. Folks, I don't want any part of this punishment. You hear me? I don't even want to have to look at it. Listen to it. Deuteronomy 28, verses 47 through 51. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Does that not sound like America? For the abundance of everything. Therefore, a great professor I had said, anytime you see therefore, look and see what it's there for. So let's look and see what it's there for. You shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness and in need of everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. What an enemy. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar. Listen, America. Listen well. From afar. From the end of the earth. As swift as the eagle flies. As soon as I read that, I remembered the Twin Towers. As swift as the eagle flies. A nation whose language you will not understand. A nation of fierce countenance. Boy, have you noticed? Which does not respect the elderly. Hear me, America. Which does not respect the elderly, nor show favor to the young. Look at the abortions in America. And everybody sitting back saying, it's okay. Pastors refusing to say anything from the pulpit because they don't want to offend in the congregation. I don't want to offend. I want to love, but I also want to save the life of the babies. I also want to be ready and willing to stand strong for those who can't stand, to help lift them up. America, God is calling us, his church, to action. And they shall eat the increase of your livestock and the produce of your land until you are destroyed. That's talking directly about us. They shall not leave you grain or new wine or oil or the increase of your cattle or the offspring of your flocks until they have destroyed you. Don't you worry about the toilet paper. You won't have anything to eat. Why? Because we've sinned greatly against God. Thus saith the Lord thy God. Now, Lord, we see our sin. We recognize it. Folks, that's just like reading the paper. That's just like reading the real news as to what's going on. And we're told a setback, we'll take care of you. I've never seen a government that takes care. There's no feeling in government. Government does not have a spirit. It does not have a soul any more than corporations do. People do. Don't you hear me? And when they sell their own soul for personal gain, they sell out the children of God and all the innocent that are around. Once the sellout begins, it becomes easier each day. Millions of unborn children that God knows their name are being slaughtered in the womb, and nobody calls it murder. It's called choice. I got news for you. God did not choose it. God said, I'll take care of you. Well, we've got too many people in the world. God makes the decision of who is conceived. Man stopping the birth of a chosen one of God directly tells God he's wrong. God have mercy on the soul of some sin-sick individual who will do it. Do I blame the mamas? No. I blame those who talk them into it. I've met them, been around them, listened to them laugh, listened to them talk about the body parts they'll sell, how much money they can make, and how great that it is to be able to buy that new vehicle they so desperately need and love. God doesn't need a vehicle. He chose you and I to be His vehicle. We are the chosen vehicles of Almighty God to bring the truth. Now, if you can't stand on the front line of battle and combat, and you think that it's impossible, folks, that's called praying to God for holy boldness. Holy boldness doesn't mean that you're not afraid. Holy boldness does not mean that you're that tough. Holy boldness means though you are terrified, your body locks up, you can hardly move. It means you go anyway. You say it anyway. You do it anyway. You move for Christ. Or you're going to lose the greatest nation that's ever been known. A nation that's called by God now to protect His beloved Israel. His chosen. That's right. You better believe I'd give my life for a Jewish nation. You better believe that I want and realize I'm on the front line. I'm getting old. But I can still stand there and take the hit. But will we stand up? Here's the remedy for all the garbage that I've just read to you. All the hurt and all the pain. Here's the remedy. Proverbs 7, verse 14. If my people, that's us, church, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There's the remedy. You've got the sin. It's right there in your bulletin. Study it this week. You've got the sin. You have the punishment. You got the remedy. Well, let me tell you something. I'm for, Brother Randy, skipping the punishment part, realizing the sin, and going straight to the remedy. Oh, but can you do that? Yes. But America has to stand. Christian America needs to be recognized once again. Gandhi's the great one who said, give me your Christ, but you keep your Christians. Give me your Christ, but you keep your Christians. What happened to us? What happened to the excitement as a kid of being saved and ready and willing to change the world by the touch of Christ? What happened? Our spiritual senses got dulled by the world around us. We started believing the lie, and that lie has always been around. You will not surely die like God told you. Well, that sounds like the devil himself, doesn't it? When you're ready to stand up and speak out, let me tell you something. All hell will come against you. Guarantee it. But I just went through a part of a hell. I was just blessed by God that it was so amazing that even the doctor couldn't believe it. Not even one speck, she said. Well, I wasn't about to have her look any harder. But don't you see and understand something? God said, I will use you. I will heal you. I will lift you up. Will you stand for me? Or will you give in to the world and his ways. Now, we have been given chance after chance. But look around, folks. We are losing our nation. And we're falling for this garbage that is being put out. And I will say this loud and clear. Socialism is the first step to communism. And to support that is anti-God, because it in itself is their God. And either stand up, speak out, or shut up and face the consequences. And your pastor loves you. Let's pray. Father, oh Lord, you give us your word, your truth. Father, you give us a message that of warning that is so frightening to us, Lord. Yet I see it, Father. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you love us enough that you're still going to warn us. And you still give us a way out. Help us to take that way out, Father. Help us to repent. Help us to once again lift you up above all else. All the consequences of this world are nothing compared to the blessings of the world in which we're going. Thank you for those blessings. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your healing. Thank you for your touch. Lord, I could just thank you all day myself. I praise your name, Father, and ask that your blessing be upon your congregation right here at Vine Grove. Father, I truly ask for that special touch upon each family, for your protective hand to be around them, Father, for you to watch them as they travel, protect them as they go to and fro. Father, touch the diseases in their lives, the aches, the pains, the hurt, the evil that Satan tries to put out. Father, I pray for your guidance, your protection, and your healing. And I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.